This morning, we're going to continue, as Kathy mentioned earlier, on a series that I started last week, and it's called Dreamers of the Bible. And this is part two here today.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Again, Father, we thank you for the great time of already being here in your presence. And Lord, that we came past the gates of praise into the holy place, into the place where you are at. And Lord, you've met with us. We thank you for that. And now, Lord, I pray that you would bless the word that as we bring, as we read out of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to continue, as Kathy mentioned earlier, on a series that I started last week, and it's called Dreamers of the Bible. And this is part two here today, and we're going to dig into a little bit of what we talked about last week and give you our intro text, Numbers chapter 12, back in the book of Numbers. And again, I want to just highlight this. Last week I read the entire portion where Miriam and Aaron were complaining against Moses, and God had to talk with them and to call them all out. But this is what God says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. And he said, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." So again, this is God that was speaking, and how God is ministering. He says, "I'll speak to them in a dream." And now he says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful among all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the likeliness the Lord shall behold." Okay, so in other words, what we had talked about was that God speaks in dreams to most individuals that were upon the earth and are upon the earth, and that God will speak through a dream. But with Moses, Moses was different. He said, "I'm going to speak with him mouth to mouth." Okay? So, unless we're Moses, anybody in here Moses? Okay? God was that was the only individual that God did that with. And so, here we learn that God does speak to mankind through dreams. But he will speak to mankind through dreams and something called dark speeches. In other words, if you remember, anybody remember what that meant, dark speeches? Okay? Hidden meanings or riddles. Okay? So oftentimes, when God speaks to us in dreams, it will be through hidden meaning or through a riddle type of thing that God will have to make known the interpretation of that. Now we go over to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And here in Joel's passage to us, he says, "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour out my spirit upon how much flesh? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy," right? And what do we know? "Your old men shall dream dreams." Now, recently I started having dreams that are spiritual dreams, and that never happened to me before. So what does that mean, Landon? I'm old, right? I'm "And your young men shall see visions." And so I am convinced that God is preparing us as we enter into these days, so our young men and women will see visions that God will give, and your old men and women might dream dreams that God is bringing to pass. And I love this because he says, "I will do this upon my servants and my handmaidens. In those days I will pour out my spirit upon them." So today we're going to continue on with this. And in Scripture, we find out that there are many purposes for dreams. And we're going to be covering those as God uses these things to speak to humanity. And many times, again, I say God speaks to us in these dark speeches or in hidden meanings. And sometimes we may not understand those things, but understand that in the Scriptures there are 21 dreams that are recorded. 21 dreams that are recorded in the Bible. Now, I know that there had to have been a whole lot more dreams that individuals had during those times, but these are the only recorded dreams, and out of those 21, six of those actually occur in the New Testament. So we're going to be studying a lot of the Old Testament ones and the purposes behind these dreams. So I have several, and today I want to talk about two purposes that God uses for dreams. The first one is that God uses dreams to speak to all people, godly and ungodly, to warn a person not to do something that they are about to do. Now, interesting here enough that most of us, when we think about, well, these are dreams that are recorded in the Bible, they must be for godly people. Listen. We put God in a box sometimes and we think God can only do this or God can only do that. God has spoken to many individuals that were not godly people through dreams. And those are recorded in the Scriptures, and I want to take a look at those. The first one that I want to take a look at is a man by the name of King Abimelech of Gerar. Everybody knows who he is, right? No. Okay, well then, if you don't, I want you to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 20. Way back in the book of Genesis, the first recordings of mankind and all of their doings. Genesis chapter 20. Starting in verse 1, and Abraham, how many of you heard of Abraham before? All right. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. All right, what do we got going on here? Abraham, from what we know, is married to Sarah. But now he travels to this king's territory, King Abimelech, and he is afraid, Tucker, that Abimelech is going to say, get rid of the man, keep the woman. And so what does he tell Abimelech? She is my sister. Basically, he lied, did he not? Or we're going to find out he told a half truth, which is the same as what?
A lie.
Some of us try to justify half-truths. Say, well, it is true, but really it isn't. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. God comes to Abimelech through what? A dream. He is dreaming. But in the dream, God is speaking to him, and God says to him, behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, she is a man's wife. How'd you like to have a dream like that? Would you say this was a nightmare, Janet, that came upon the king while he goes to sleep? Now, the king is not aware of what he has done. It was customary when a king saw a woman and he desired her, or she was beautiful, as Sarah was beautiful, he said, I want that woman as part of my concubines or part of my group of women. And so he took Sarah. But God comes in a dream. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, now listen, he is talking to God in a dream. God is speaking to him, and he is speaking to God in a dream. So many people do not understand this, that we can communicate with God through dreams. And God can communicate to us through dreams. And he says, but Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. But God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you. How do you like that one, huh? Abimelech's done nothing wrong as far as he knows, but now he says, the man that lied to you is going to pray for you in the dream. And you will live, and if you restore her not, know you that you will surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all of his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Now, I want you to particularly understand that this was a conversation that was happening where? In a dream. Oftentimes, whenever we skim through the scriptures, we may think that maybe the Lord himself came to him and he was awake and just started speaking to him all this stuff. He was asleep and having this communication right there, right then. Then we skip down to verse 15, and Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you, dwell where it pleases you to Abraham. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of thine eyes unto all that are with you, and with all other, thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and they that bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Wow. The entire nation, all wombs were closed up whenever he took her. And God spoke to an ungodly man, an ungodly king, in a dream. You see, what we see here with God, all things are possible. See, you and I, when we're sleeping, we can't communicate with other people, can we? But God can break through and communicate with us and with ungodly people to get his will accomplished. Now, I want to share another example of this, and this is found in Matthew chapter 27. Now, one of the things that happened in Abimelech's case is that he actually obeyed what the Lord had said. You remember, though, there is always consequences to obeying or consequences to not obeying. And God said to him in the dream, if you repent and if you restore her, then I will restore and do what I asked, what I said I would do. Now, over here in Matthew chapter 27, this takes us now to the point where Jesus is brought before Pilate. And there's an interesting thing that happens here. In Matthew chapter 27, did I say 24? Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont or used to releasing unto the people a prisoner, whoever they wanted. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, who will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus to him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. That's an interesting thing that many people, and I've really never heard this preached about. But what happened to Pilate's wife? What happened in the dream? See, we're not told all of that that took place in the dream. But in the dream, she suffered many things. In other words, there was something in that dream that God was speaking to her that was about to happen if this one thing was not changed around. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So we all know the story of what happens here is that his wife's dream did not affect what he did. Now, a couple things here important to remember, especially in husbands and wives. The Bible says that the two become one flesh. And when a wife has a dream or something that is spiritual, it is very important for the husband to pay attention and listen to what is happening or what was spoken to his wife, because they become one flesh as they are joined together in holy matrimony. You know, when there's a marriage ceremony, we don't just say those words just to say words. The two become one flesh. And Pilate did not pay attention or heed what was spoken to his wife. Now, was his wife a godly person? Not to our knowledge at all. But we know that God spoke through the dream, and God showed her and probably told her many of the things that would come to pass with her and with her husband, should this take place. So I can only know and only go by what God's word says, that she suffered those things after Christ was crucified. Now, the question comes in here, why would God do that? Why would God share with her to do this and to tell her husband? I mean, wasn't it the plan of God that Jesus was to go to the cross? Yes, it was the plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross. And that would have happened even if Pilate had said, I'm going to pay attention to this dream. Okay? God was giving Pilate and his wife an opportunity to repent and not be a part of that. That's the faithfulness of God. How many of you know that? Okay? Many times we look at this story and we just say, they're just evil, 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 evil people. But God was giving an opportunity. But it would have happened one way or another, but for some reason God was speaking this to Pilate's wife and giving them the opportunity, just like he did with Abimelech, to say, if you will turn, then I will do this. But we must feel so sorry for this lady here, because that suffering, the things that were spoken to her in the dream, came to pass. So God is faithful. Listen, and God will warn us many times in dreams. Now, these are two examples of ungodly people. But God does warn his own people in dreams as well of things that are to come. And there's warnings that are there. But God is faithful. I want you to turn back to Ezekiel 33. And I pulled out a couple of scriptures here about the faithfulness of God. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God speaking through Ezekiel said, Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? You see, again, God doesn't get a kick out of wicked people dying. Now, and I'm going to jump on this just a little bit. There are a lot of wicked people that are in our world today. And so many Christians I have heard jump on the bandwagon of how bad and how evil they are, and God get them. Because they're so wicked, and because they do such wicked things, and they're causing such wicked things to happen, and some Christians get the idea, God get them. Just wipe them out. But that's not scriptural, is it? Because God says, I don't have pleasure in a wicked man dying. Why? Because he's going to hell. I would rather have them repent and turn, just like he spoke to Abimelech in the dream. And this is God's heart here. And you jump over to verse 14 again here. Again, when I say to the wicked that you will surely die, if he turns from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which is robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That's the heart of God. That's what God speaks through dreams. Because how many of you know sometimes we are stubborn-headed? Except Dante on the front, right? And sometimes God may have to speak to us in dreams. And sometimes we're not paying attention and God may speak to us in dreams, just like he did with Abimelech and with Pilate's wife. These are two examples that we have in the scripture of God using dreams to speak and warning a person not to do something. That's the faithfulness of God. The second one I want to talk about here today. God uses dreams to warn a person that they will receive punishment from God for their pridefulness and for their stubbornness. Now, I want you to also understand, I don't have the scripture, but this is found back in Kings, that stubbornness is equal to the sin of witchcraft. Some of you are like, oh, I should not have put my hand up earlier. God does not care for stubbornness and pridefulness. I want to read through a story here where we see God using a dream to do this. Daniel chapter 4. Now we will be in Daniel throughout the series. Most of you have heard of King Nebuchadnezzar. Have we not? And this is not the dream that most of us know about the statue. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. This is chapter 4 of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar. God's going to use a dream here to warn him of something. Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, I was at rest at my house and flourishing in my palace. What do we know about Nebuchadnezzar right now? He's rich. All things are going well for King Nebi, right? He's got everything that he wants. It's flourishing. He's conquering peoples, getting more servants, getting more stuff. Everything is going well. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. What does he have, folks? He's got a dream. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So here comes the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before them, but they could not make it known unto me, on the interpretation of this dream. Now, ungodly people will not reach out to God first. Who are they reaching to? They're reaching to these signs that say tarot card readings. They're reaching, I'll read your palm. I'll give you this. I will tell you what your life is going to be about. That's exactly who he went to. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is with thee, and no secret troubles you, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretations thereof. How do you like that? Daniel, tell me my dream, and then interpret it for me. Okay? Now, I've had folks come to me and say, I had this dream. Can you help me with that? And that's great. But I have never had someone come to me and say, I had a dream, but I don't remember it, but I want you to tell me what it is, and then interpret it for me. That's a tough one, Tucker. Right? But with God, all things are possible. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt with the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off the leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from under the branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, and with the band of iron and brass, and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now, remember we talked about dark speeches? How many of you would get that? It's like, huh? Say, what? God was speaking through a dream to Nebuchadnezzar. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to give me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour. I like that word. In other words, he was what? I don't get it. Only God can give the interpretations of some of the dreams that we have. Because some of the dreams that we have, we cannot get it. We don't understand it. But God, in His wisdom and the Spirit's wisdom, can give the understanding to it. For 1 hour he was astonied, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation of it trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation to your enemies. The tree that you saw, which was strong and reached into the heaven, and all the earth whose leaves were fair and the fruit much on it, And it was meat for all the beasts of the field that dwelt under it, and the branches, the fowls of the heaven, habitation. It is you, O King, that are grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reached to the heavens. 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump and the roots there of the earth, and the band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field. This is the interpretation, king. This is the decree of the Most High, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of the heavens. Seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men. What was God saying? God was saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you think you are all of that. You think you're great. You think that your kingdom is unmovable. You think that you have created all that you have. But I got news for you. Something is about to happen. I am going to drive you out unless you change your mind, unless you change your ways. I'm going to drive you out and you're going to become like the beast of the field. I want you to think about that. Now, there's a lot of Bible commentators that will say, well, this just meant that Nebuchadnezzar was going to like go mentally insane for a little while. God meant what he said. He said, I'm going to drive you out and you're going to become like the beast of the field. And for 7 years I will do that until you finally figure out who is the God above all gods. Until you figure out that I, God, am the one that rules heaven and earth. Don't you see what happens here? Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, and break off thy sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, king, pay attention to this. 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace. Now, 12 months had gone by from the dream. Now, if we pay attention to what God is telling us, even through a dream, God will withhold what the consequences are. And I think 12 months went by where it shook Nebuchadnezzar, where he actually straightened himself up. But then what happens? Falling back into the ways. How many of you remember when 9-1-1 happened? Anybody remember that? You guys were a little bit young. But America fell to their knees because they were afraid of what was happening and that America might be taken over, and churches and signs everywhere on buildings. Let's call upon God. Let's ask God to restore our nation. Let's ask God to bless our nation. Let's ask God. How many remember that? They were on signs that were VFW signs. They were on signs that were businesses. God, restore us. God, we're calling upon you for help. How long did that last? Didn't last very long at all. Once the fear went away and once the scare went away, America was back to doing what America did in falling away from God. 12 months go by. I think he's shooken. But now, after 12 months, the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might and the power that I have? And for the honor of my majesty, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field, and make you to eat the grass as the oxen, 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown out like eagle's feather and his nails like bird's claws. That actually happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And some of you are saying, how could that happen to a man? With God, all things are possible. God warned him in a dream, and he did not pay attention to it. At the end of the days, verse 34 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven after 7 years of being out there in the field with nails like bird's claws, eagle's feathers growing on his body. And he says, my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation. And God restored him. God changed him back. Well, how could God do that? Because he's God. God will warn us of things to come and punishment unless we change our ways. And so many times I believe that many God has spoken to in dreams and they have ignored what God has said. They have ignored it. You see, God may still give dreams to us today in warning the way that we've been living our lives, the way that we've been ignoring him. We've been casually just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. But we've been ignoring the way that God wants us to live. God's called us to full commitment to him. And yet, we don't want to come. That song talked about coming past the gates of praise into the presence of God. Some don't even want to get past the gates of praise. They don't even want to enter into the gates of praise. They just want to say, yeah, I'm part of that. And God may be speaking through dreams and warning us. James chapter 4. Jump over there as James gives us a warning on this. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain that the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he says God resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is what he did through the dream with Nebuchadnezzar. Some people may have a constant dream that keeps occurring. And if that dream continues to occur, God is trying to speak in that. God is trying to give you a message, give you an understanding of what his heart is to draw you near to him. But if we ignore or don't turn from our sinful ways, God has no choice except to allow that which is a consequence to happen. God's heart is that we turn. Now I want to close with just one scripture here that many of us, we discount some of the things in the book of Job. But I want to go there. Many of us, when we think about the book of Job, we just think about God and what God did with Job. But when you think about his friends that had things to say to him, I don't know about you, but like over the years, I have just kind of like discounted everything that his friends said. Like, yeah, they didn't really know what they were talking about. But then the Lord began to deal with me and say, that's my word. I have put that in my word. And there are reasons that I have put that in my word. And so I had to ask the Lord to forgive me because all these guys, Bill Hugh and Elihu, who's the one who's talking here, Job chapter 33. I always discounted it and said, these guys don't know what they're talking about, but God had a reason. Now, they were trying to say, Job, here is the reason. It didn't mean that what they were saying was not true. Okay? But in Job's case, it was different. But I want you to listen to what is written here in Job 33. Verse 14. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Isn't that what we've been talking about? What God's heart is and why God would speak and give warnings through dreams? Because God wants to keep us back from the pit. He wants to have blessing instead of cursing. And so God will bring this. His purpose is love and desire for us and to turn from our ungodly ways to the things of God. God speaks and warns through dreams. Amen? Amen. Lots more to come and purposes for dreams and examples of the dreamers. Today's dreamers were Abimelech, Pilate's wife. Amen? And God has purposes and warnings. Father, I thank you so much for this word today, and I thank you for what you are about to do in helping us to understand. You're giving us the instruction according to your word. And Father, I'm asking that if you use us or you speak to us in dreams, that you would give us the understanding, and if there are warnings, God, that we would heed to those warnings and turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. Father, I thank you for that today, and I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, God's people say, Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.